change of pace. Not Mr. Garcia. It's not Mr. Garcia at all tonight. It's Mr. Taxia from Duh Progressive, DUHProgressive.com. Exactly. Tom is not available. I am in charge. Lucky you. Lucky us. So, what I have lined up for tonight, as you can tell, folks, there is nothing going on in the news. Nothing to talk about at all. It's completely dead out there. Not a thing. The newscape is like a barren desert. Not one little thing to talk about. yeah, right. I wish that was the case. However, that is not. Yes, Nick Taxia, Duh Progressive, DUHProgressive.com. I am filling in for Tom Garcia, who I regret to inform. Now, Tom is going to be fine. He's alive, but Tom was, he's a very active man, and he was surfing off of his home off the coast of Florida, and he was attacked by a great white shark. And as he was paddling in with his one remaining leg, as he was paddling into shore, along came a swarm of killer African honeybees and attacked him once he was on shore. So he got attacked by a shark, and between the shark and the Africanized, killer honeybees, Tom's doing pretty rough. But, he'll make it. He'll make it. So anyway, no, seriously, he's up in Canada visiting in-laws. So he might, he may prefer to be attacked by a shark and bees in that case. So let's just, let's wish him well. And the only thing he has to watch out for up there in the Canadian wilderness is Sasquatch. Anyway, I want to thank Tom for allowing me to host tonight. I don't have him to catch me if I fall and screw up. So if you hear me screw up, it's all going to be genuine and there won't be anything I can I'll be able to do about it. Just sit back and take it, So I first want to say that while the show is occurring, I will be looking at a website that was shown to me on Facebook, and it is you have to see it. It's called RomneyMakes.com, and we'll be checking in with this website throughout the course of the show. Romney, as in Mitt Romney, RomneyMakes.com, and it's all dedicated to what Mitt Romney makes over the course of second by second. It's real time how much money Mitt Romney has made. In the time it's taken me to say that, according to RomneyMakes.com, Mitt Romney has made $65, $67, $80, $90, $70 so far in the time it's taken me to say that. So I'll be keeping up with that site the entire show. We'll be checking in so often to make sure that, see how much money Mitt has made, because as we all know, because Mitt Romney's rich, he's incapable of fighting for the middle class and even those of lower class struggling to raise themselves up and provide a better life for themselves and their families. We all know that. As liberals and socialists believe, and as Marxist theory teaches, is that there's only a certain amount of wealth in the world, and that it all must be shared. The ability to create money and to earn money while not inadvertently taking it away from someone else is impossible, as you know. So we'll be monitoring what Mitt Romney makes, and thereby know how much money Mitt Romney is actually stealing as well. No person can get rich without someone else getting poor, blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. And as we all know, Mitt Romney has already caused one woman to get cancer through denying her husband health care by firing him, granted that it was 7 years before the woman actually passed away. So with depression rates and everything, depression, substance abuse, alcoholism, and suicide rates being disproportionate to lower to people of poorer stature. Mitt Romney, we're actually looking at RomneyMakes.com, sort of how many people Mitt Romney has killed, too. So by now, he's already made $350, and he's probably killed, I don't know, maybe about five people so far. RomneyMakes.com, you got to check it out. My guest for tonight is, Mr. Warren, are you there?
I am.
Okay, you had me scared for a minute. I'm like,
I had to push the turn off the mute button.
Yeah, well, yeah, just kind of like my girlfriend. She turns off the mute button, but that's for her hearing. That's not for me speaking. Anyway, Mr. Warren Houston, you work for who?
I work for the Breitbart Group. I got hired on there, and I've been writing for quite some time. Andrew was a terrible loss to us, but we're going to continue going on at Andrew Breitbart's sites, big government and big journalism and whatnot.
Great, great. Love it. Did you know Andrew personally?
I sure did. One of my favorite moments with him was he and I had a one-on-one dinner in Mexico one time that was just, it was so typically Andrew. We talked about everything under the sun, and he was just always going a mile a minute. He was just a great guy. I mean, there's just no way to get past that. He was one of the best people.
Great. How long have you been with the Breitbart organization?
Boy, I think I started posting, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Right after they first launched, I was posting with them. I've been an employee less time than that, but I've been posting on there since just about at the beginning of their launches. And I've been on all their sites, big journalism, big piece, big government, the regular Breitbart News. So, yep.
Now, please don't tell me that being part of Breitbart, it was mandatory that you look at a picture of Anthony Weiner's wiener. Please don't tell me
well,
that.
No. Our pal Andrew held that picture close to his vest because he didn't want to be the one to make the wiener public.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Who knows? I live in DuPont Circle, Washington D.C. The second gayest areas on the East Coast, really. So, one of my neighbors probably has that picture framed up on the wall somewhere. your personal blog is publiusforum.com, publiusforum.com, and I've been looking at it, and it's good. It's extremely content heavy. Let me see what you've been going at it since January of 2005, and
I've been actually writing my blog since 2001. And it's been called Publius Forum for a long time, but I've had it on several other platforms over the years. So, and the original platform I had it on was completely hand coded, so there was nothing I could transfer to a Blogspot or anything because I had written it all in code, so it was a little difficult to do anything with, but I have stuff that go back all the way to 2001.
Okay. I stand corrected. I can only go by what I see here, and that's the little January 2005
right.
month there. Is there anything, Mr. Houston, on the blog or about Breitbart or anything that you're covering right now or that you've recently written about that is weighing on your mind? The Middle East is exploding, riots everywhere, people dying. China and Japan are rattling their sabers. Is there, anything that in particular you'd like to weigh in on?
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, the world seems to be burning, but our president seems a little bit more interested in football. he spent last weekend when our embassies were burning all over the place and, his foreign policy regime was falling down with tubes. he decided to watch football instead. So, you know, I mean, I guess the president has to take time out from his busy golf schedule and fundraising schedule to watch some football. The guy needs some time off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he needs a lot of time off. He needs the next 4 years off. And I hope he gets it. Yeah,
maybe
the next 4 years and just, he's set already. You know, go write another fictitious book about your, you know, time in office and, you know, just concentrate on that, the most crucial 40 minutes of my life, you know, when he personally killed bin Laden. As we're led to believe. And just go to Hawaii, become a professor, and smoke your pack a day Newports or something. Just leave us the hell alone, man.
I think the worst thing that's going on out there though is how the media is treating this whole situation. They've been harping on this 47% comment that Mitt Romney made recently, in which, by the way, he really didn't say anything wrong. He was just saying that 47% of America is too dependent on government. What's wrong with that statement? But Obama has repeatedly, four or five times over the years, said that he is up for redistribution of income. He said it to Joe the Plumber. We've got this audio tape from 1998 where he was saying it. James Pethakoukas from NDI just put out something where he was saying it to another audience. I mean, you know, this guy has repeatedly told us that he is basically for communist principles, that he likes those kind of ideas. Those are the ideas that motivate him. And what is the media doing? Well, NBC today said they won't even, I think it was NBC, said that they won't even air this tape of Obama saying that he likes redistribution of income because they haven't, they claim they haven't verified it. It's his voice on the tape. How can you not verify that?
Well, there's so many Obama impersonators out there. I, for one, you know, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Okay, could have been me making that up. Who knows?
You were impersonating Al Hag at the beginning of this program, weren't you? You said I am in charge here.
Yeah, I was. I'm the man. You know. I'm the big cheese. I'm the, you know, what they say in the movie Airplane, top dog, big man, head honcho, number one. So, by the way, Mitt Romney has made $280 since this program has begun. The way I calculate it, that's at least maybe 10 people dead. Thank you, Mitt. The leak tape is James O'Keefe. I don't know. Do you know James?
Yes, met him many times.
Yeah, he said on his Facebook. I've met him a few times, and this sounds so lame, but you have to say it nowadays. It comes with being in social media. I'm Facebook friends with him. Man, it sounds so lame. Look, give me the creeps. I'm Facebook friends with him. So I saw on his Facebook yesterday. He came out and he defended the tactics used that were. Mr. President Carter's grandson used to catch Romney, this Romney gaffe at this, it wasn't a gaffe, it wasn't off the cuff. He was speaking in comfort and like a $50,000 plate dinner, and he defended, O'Keefe defended the tactics he used to get this, and I'm just wondering as, you know, does that still stand? Is O'Keefe right, even when these tactics are used to nail our side? These new age social media era gotcha tactics.
Well, I mean, if they're going to be good for us to use, then they should be good for the other side too. I mean, you know, all's fair, right? But I don't see any problem with that because, after all, when somebody says something and it's something they believe. They should be called on it, right? I mean, and if they don't believe it, then why are they saying it? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, let's put it that way. But there are concerns of people that say that we've lost our personal sphere, you know, personal spaces, and there's too much intrusion in our lives. I don't know. I have some sympathy for that, you know, for that idea. But, I mean, it all comes down to if you're saying what you mean, then why should you be upset that it got hurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, and you know what? It just dovetails with the age of everybody's offended about something. Gonzalez, I had the article up somewhere. I have like 8 dozen articles up on this little Toshiba I have, and it's going to start smoking because of all the web pages I have pulled up on it. But it's on here somewhere. Gonzalez, the player for Blue Jays, baseball player, got suspended. He wore an ambiguously interpretive gay slur on his, I believe it was his cap. And it was meant to insult the Yankees, who they were playing against. And he got suspended for 3 days, and he's out $82,000, which is a drop in the bucket. But still, it still stands. You know, this age of everybody is offended all the time. So in an age where everyone is offended, I'm offended, you're offended. Are you offended by anything right now? Just asking.
Well, I could come up with something in a few minutes, especially if you say that Romney just made another $250 in the last minute. That might offend me because I did not make $250 in the last minute.
Actually, he's made $1,550, $52, $54, since the show starts. Now I'm offended because of that. And that's at least 15 people dead because of Mitt Romney. Thank you, Mitt. You son of a bitch. I told you this was a PG-13 show. You know, Tom usually keeps it PG. I take it up a notch. I won't go R, though. I won't go R. I will not do that. Our listeners are good, solid family folk. So if you don't mind directing you back to the Middle East, you're part of a world-famous and massive press organization. And is there anything that your outfit knows that you're willing to divulge that maybe the average person hasn't heard of yet? Concerning what's happening over there. For example, the discrepancies between the Libyan government and our own Obama's administration that says, oh, these are spontaneous attacks caused by this, you know, this wretched film, which, by the way, if you've seen it, is hysterical. Yes, it's a high school grade movie, but it's completely hysterical in the way that it's done. These were spontaneous attacks, and then the Libyan government says, no, we knew about this 3 days in advance. We told you all these were coming, which, to me, why would the Libyan government lie? So if they knew something was underway in advance, even though it ultimately rests upon us to protect our personnel, our ambassador in Benghazi, it still makes them look incompetent to a certain degree. You know, yeah, we knew it, but it still happened. That still makes it doesn't do the Libyan government any favors, ultimately. So why would they have to lie about that? But yet we have this discrepancy there. Is there anything that you or the Breitbart outfit know that you're, that it's okay, you haven't maybe put it out yet, but it's okay to speak of that the average person may not know?
Well, I mean, we did post not long ago that CNN was actually doing some interviews with protesters outside the embassy in Egypt, and their whole point for starting their protest was to have the blind sheikh released. So their protest had already started on that basis. And it was the media that gave them the idea that this so-called movie is something they should be upset about. And it was the U.S. media that spread that, you know, that message to them. And then they adopted that. So, you know, you could almost blame the U.S. media for creating this story in the first place, these protests, because it was their idea to push this fake movie. And I think it is a fake movie. I don't think there is a whole movie. I think it's just that 14 minutes or whatever clip. but obviously, Libya and other Middle Eastern sources have had news that things were being planned for the anniversary of September 11th, especially coming just before an election, which was something they really wanted to try to affect, was this coming election. So it's ridiculous to assume that this is all over some movie. That's been up for months and months and months.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always something that they can find to throw a fit over. You know, it was an International Bacon Appreciation Day on September the 1st. I did an article on my site, DuhProgressive, D-U-H-Progressive, .com, about Kevin Bacon changes his last name to appease Muslims. That completely blew up and was all over the internet and got on the actor's Facebook page, people saying, please don't change your name, you know, you big wuss, don't change your name, what are you doing? Be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have gotten offended over that. They can always get offended over something or, you know, send in Carter's grandson again and, you know, stick him on Romney's butt to see if Romney can say anything offensive. But like you said, this was planned. Now if it had to do with the blind shake, which I think his flavor is chocolate or mocha, given his origin.
I think I'm offended that Jimmy Carter's progeny is still churning out kids.
That is, you know, it does reduce your one's favorability of humanity. I will say that. But has there been anything about the blind shake? Any news that sparked these protests? Like the blind shake's been in jail since '93.
Right.
My memory goes back to the.
There wasn't anything new that sparked an interest in that because they've been pushing that cause since the day he was, put into custody in New York. So there wasn't anything new that started that. It was just an ongoing effort to try to get him released. And you know, that's where it went to.
Okay, so these, coinciding with 9/11, why have, in your intuitive journalistic sense, why all of a sudden demand the release of the blind shake this year, and if it was meant to sway the election, if it was meant to impact the election, in what sense? Certainly, I don't think they would want Romney to be the president, as opposed to Obama. Obama's let the Arabs bring
it. Personally, I don't think they see any difference between Romney or Obama. They've been carping about Obama since the day he got into office just as much as they would any other president. It's America the Great Satan is all they see. They don't see any shades of difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And second of all, I don't want to have the impression that the blind shake was the reason for all the attacks in all the 20-some different countries that saw attacks on our embassies and protests in the streets. It was for Egypt, is what I was saying. It was the protests in Egypt that started off the blind shake. The one in Libya was planned by Al-Qaeda members completely separate from what was going on in Egypt. So, I mean, it's not all the same. I mean, there's a lot of different groups out there.
Yeah. Have you heard of any attacks? At least I haven't in the articles that I've seen. I've heard of no disturbances in Saudi Arabia. I've heard of no disturbances in Kuwait. I've heard no disturbances in the UAE. I've heard of no disturbances, at least notable, in rich Arab countries, rich Muslim countries, Muslim countries that are to make their ears cringe in bed with us. So
right.
I find that very interesting. These are poor countries, lots of unemployment, very high number of unemployed youth, people with nothing to do except get angry and go throw stones and maybe bag an ambassador or two.
Right. So, well, of course. And you know, it's like their Friday night out.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways I advertised the show today, and I did have to tackle this this topic because I saw a funny shirt online. It said, "I made a 14-minute video mocking Muhammad, and all I got was this lousy World War III." so with China threatening war against Japan, The Middle East is in a continuous state of uproar. Muslim nation after Muslim nation is falling either into the hands of extremists or, at the very least, those who are apathetic to the extremist elements in their religion. By the way, Mr. Romney has made $2,420 by now, with at least, I guess that's about 21 people dead. But seriously, U.S. warships are moving to the Gulf, reports of Israel readying to strike Iran. Warner, do you believe we could be heading towards a world war? Maybe not within the coming weeks, but at some point within the year.
Well, I suppose we could always be heading toward a third world war. I mean, that seems to be the natural course of human events. But I don't know if it would be in the coming year. It would seem to me that to be a world war, some of the biggest powers would have to be in on it against each other. And at this current time, I don't see China ready to attack the United States, although they'd love to. And nor do I see a real clear reason that they would at this time, and I don't believe that the whole world would go to war over Middle East and its turmoil. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, certainly you have to hedge all your bets on something like this, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that we're ready for a world war at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be a type of war that you think of a world war of massive armies marching across wide swaths of land and that type of thing. It could be a totally different type of war
like a new Cold War type thing maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which in a way that was a world war. It was a Cold War war, but the world was divided up into two main camps and. So, yeah, publicforum.com, you're from Illinois, says here?
Unfortunately, yes. I live just in the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. That's Cook County or someplace?
Yes, in Crook County. Definitely in
okay.
Crook County.
Okay, great. Great. That's a fairly well-to-do place, I heard.
Well, it depends on what part of Crook County you're in.
I was in a part of Cook County 4 years ago during the last election that you could get lost in the houses there. They look like Saudi mansions. I mean, the whole area was very palatial. So
yeah.
You have up on here, though, I'm looking at your blog, a bet. Rep Jesse Jackson Jr. to quit Congress. This is your personal take. You think he'll changing gears for a minute? Jesse Jackson Jr. is going to bail.
Well, he's in June. In the middle of June, he put up his house in D.C. for sale. $2.5 million is what he's asking for it, and I somehow don't think he'd be doing that if he intended to be sticking around Washington D.C. after the election. And of course, since he's been in rehab or in wherever mental problems he's claiming to have this week, he's been in seclusion at an undisclosed location. And, I'm pretty sure that he's probably going to quit Congress right after he wins re-election, which is a typical Chicago trick. You do that so that your party can help usher in the next guy and you don't leave much room open for the other party to win anything. But then again, we are in Illinois, so expecting the GOP here to win anything is sort of a silly idea in the first place.
Okay. Any great projects going on at Breitbart that are open that you can discuss? Of course, that's something that you don't want somebody else to get a scoop of.
Well, yeah, my no-disclosure statement might get me in trouble, too. But one of the things we're going to try and work on is I think we're going to start posting about the races, across the country. I've been assigned New Hampshire, and I can't tell you how excited I am about that. So a lot of guys have
more
exciting states. But yeah, New Hampshire. I mean, we have two Republicans that are up for re-election there. They only have two, you know, they only have two congressional districts in the first place. Because I think Cook County has more people than New Hampshire. But they have two Republicans that are up for re-election, and both of them have disappointed the activists in New Hampshire. So they aren't really rooting for them too heavily. But that's what I got to cover.
Yeah, yeah. How involved are you with articles on Breitbart that have to do with Obama's, you know, alleged ties to Islam, that the birth certificate thing, and you know, that cater to the what they call the birther crowd? Are you involved with those types of things?
I am not. No, I'm not a birther. I don't. I think Obama was likely born in Hawaii, like he said he was. But at this point, even if he wasn't, it doesn't really matter. He's not going anywhere unless we vote him out, and that's. That should be our goal, not worrying about, things that we can or can't prove. Let's just vote the guy out. That's easier than messing around with, you know, with shadowy birth certificate pictures. And,
yeah.
We on Breitbart, we don't do much of the birther stuff anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have said yes, I would have playfully ridden your butt about it a little bit, because that's one thing, you know, it at this point it's a mute point, and that's one thing that I've noticed. I love Breitbart. Personally, he was a great guy. I met him for a split second once at CPAC, and that was it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my interaction with him. Run around meeting everybody, talking everyone up the madman that he was. And it's a great organization. I am so glad you all are there. It's just one little, you know, being the objective guy that I am, one little thing I got to do, and that's the birther stuff. Like, oh, like, man, you know, we've got so much to talk about that's happened over the last 4 years since this Joker took office. It's just this comment, his comments, his policies. I mean, my Lord, we know people who have in Northern Virginia, they're contractors with the defense industry, and they have to lay off, you know, in some cases 3,000 employees because of this, the ramifications of this man's policies. And if that keeps up, you know, for another 4 years, my God. And so much, and we fail to realize how much of the economy depends on how people feel about it. When people, you know, it actually good feelings translates into better performance in the economy. I think we really neglect how much that a sense of confidence impacts really people's wallets in the long run, and that's just something that we do not experience under this president. You know, he's
no.
Personally cool. You know, he can sing Al Green. He can go on Letterman. Oh, he's cool. He's like what? As Rush puts it, President Kardashian. But in terms of proud of your country, taking pride in your economy, feeling good about your stance, your stature in the world, rather, no, it's not with him. He belongs on film. Give the man a stage. Don't give him the presidency again.
But I thought Michelle said that when he got elected, it was the first time she was ever proud of America.
Yeah, all about them. Just like when he said, this is, I think, back in April, when he said the comment about the troops overseas who are fighting on my behalf. No troop fights on one man's behalf, you imbecile.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the past, he said the White House is my house. When he first got elected, Valerie Jarrett was on TV saying that he's ready to rule on day one. Rule. A president doesn't rule.
It's, you know, these and my God, I've met enough of them. I know how they think. I was brought up as one. I was brought up by these two very liberal women. One, my grandmother, who's gotten more conservative as she's gotten older. older, being in her 80s. And my mother, this devout hippie, and trust me, these people have a sense that they're smarter. They've read all the books. They've looked at all the studies. And basically, they have, and this is the third week in a row, and audience, I apologize for saying this, for the third time in a row, but they've read themselves out of reality. And, you know, they do have this creepy, Stalinistic sense of, you know, like they don't, they have to rule instead of govern, you know?
And right. It's a very totalitarian ideology that the left always has had. I mean, it's always been like that. And there's no surprise that some of the biggest murderers in history on a government, you know, scale have been leftists.
Yeah. There's a wonderful Greek word. It's one of the sides, you know, homicide, suicide, patricide. But it's, and I can't remember what it was, but it's a type of side, and it's a Greek word meaning when a government kills its own citizens / subjects. And I've been trying to look for that online, and I cannot freaking find it. Watch, you'll probably look online and find it in 5 minutes. But yet, you're with Breitbart. Yeah,
so that's everybody's goal now. Everybody's rushing to Google as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. All, you know, both, like I said, this last week, we have our largest audience ever. Both Tom's parents are listening. So, yeah. Have you ever met Tom Garcia, or the usual host? Commander Tom from Florida?
No, I have not.
No. Well, great guy. Great guy. And he's got the passion. He's got the passion. He ran for Congress a couple cycles ago. Didn't make it, but he made quite a splash, and now he does this. So, like I said on the beginning of the show, he's in Canada. So I have to take over and torture
people. What was his last name?
Garcia. Tom Garcia. Garcia.
Oh, John Garcia.
No, Thomas. Thomas and Thomas.
And you ran for Congress in Florida?
Yes. He was in Sandy Adams. He recently defeated Sandy Adams in Florida, her district. So anything else on your mind, Mr. Houston?
Was the word you were looking for democide?
Is that what it is?
Definition of democide, the murder of any person or people by a government.
Okay. See? Well, I don't think – I think things are going to be bad if Obama gets reelected. That bad, democide, I hope not. No, I don't think.
Yeah, really.
It's not going
to
be.
I hope not too. Boy, that'd be that would be a really bad reason to vote for Obama, huh?
I'm sure he'd still get vote for me, and in 4 years, you know, I mean, you got 47% versus 53%. So, and vote for me in 53 in 4 years, 53% of you won't exist.
You have people lining up for some free Obama democide, I think.
Yeah. Well, and the left makes genocidal statements all the time. You know, if it's between Samuel L. Jackson versus Ellen Barkin, who seriously, Ellen Barkin, she used to be very, very beautiful, but now, I mean, my God, have you seen her? Lord, looks
like
Al Qaeda. She looks like that scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and when they open the Ark of the Covenant, and her face is melting off. She looks like Al Qaeda. Speaking of Al Qaeda, she looks like Al Qaeda flew a plane right into her face. That's Ellen Barkin today for you, you know. And but yeah, she makes these I wish they'd all die and all that kind of stuff. No, that doesn't get covered. If you know, my God, let's say Clint Eastwood or some conservative celebrity, which off the top of my head, there's Clint Eastwood and
Gary Sinise.
Clint Eastwood. Gary Sinise, John Lovitz. John Lovitz, he found out the hard way.
Yeah, he sure did. He got creamed when he said, though, few statements that he was getting sick and tired of Obama taking all of his money. That was enough to open the floodgates against the poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what did he expect? Did he expect that these people that he's friends with, these so-called liberals, are really, you know, open and tolerant, you know, when it comes to, because in their mind, they're fighting another type of a holy war. They're fighting a war to keep us, you know, away from being dominated by white, you know, male Christian, you know, and basically the Western version of the Taliban. That's what they think. By the way, Mitt Romney has made $3,053,4760 in the time that we've been speaking. So that's, I don't know, maybe that's about 20-some-odd people dead now. Warren,
yeah.
Terrible.
Well, you know, I think I've always wondered why these guys in Hollywood don't insist that they all get paid on the union scale. I mean, after all, they think that money's evil and that nobody should have it, and if you do have it, you should give it away, right? So why are they accepting more than union scale for any work they do in the first place?
Exactly. They have to be part of Screen Actors Guild. They have to be part of that. Why not accept what that stipulates and any other union that they may have to join? Exactly. Anyway, I've got to run. Unless there's anything else, your website again. Give us another plug, Warren.
All right, that's www.publiusforum.com. That's publiusforum.com. Come on over there every day. There's a couple, four or five new posts every day. And, of course, catch me at bigjournalism.com on the Breitbart sites. And just Google my name, Warner Todd Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N, not Warren. It's Warner. Everyone says Warren, but it's Warner. Google that name and you'll get a million hits. So check me out, everyone. I'd appreciate it.
Good. I was going to say you can go to Breitbart and search your name and come up with everything that you've done there.
Correct. So,
yeah. All right, Warren. Warren Houston, everybody from Breitbart. Let's give them a hand. Right now there's at least a few people clapping out there for you. You know, being this an internet show, most of the people listen after the initial broadcast. So in the coming week, you'll be even more famous. She's a little more famous than usual.
We always like that.
Okay. All right, Warren, well, we thank you so much for coming on the American Hour, okay?
Thanks.
All right, you take care. See you.
All right, bye now.
So that was Warren. Warren Houston, Breitbart. Told you I'd have a Breitbart guest. It almost didn't work. but at the last minute, I got Warren to come on. And anyone who's ever done a talk show, be it TV or radio or whatever, if when you're guest dependent, or when someone says they're going to come on, you know, you really have your fingers crossed. Please let nothing come up and disturb that. Please. $3,180 so far that damn Mitt Romney has made. And how many people does that, how much money has he stolen in that case? My God. I got to stop looking at this site. It's too upsetting. Sorry. I got to change the subject. Drastically change the subject. Just a quirky thing. One of the few news items now going through today. On a lighter note, today was Talk Like a Pirate Day. I don't know that there was ever such a... I've heard of it last year, and it struck me just as strangely as it does now. Talk Like a Pirate Day. Okay, so I'm not going to talk like a pirate. I live in DuPont Circle, like I said, the most densely packed gay community, the second most densely packed gay community on the East Coast, so there are other sorts of pirates I can learn to mimic, if you all know what I'm saying. But yeah, today, International Pirate Talk Like a Pirate Day. I never, who would have guessed? Speaking of what we were talking about, of what Mr. Warren and I were just saying, I'm glad it wasn't like, talk like Mickey Mouse day. I mean, can you imagine trying to discuss this material? You know, so apparently another U.S. embassy has been stolen by Muslim radicals. Oh, you know, that just doesn't work. A suicide bomber blew himself up in today in Iraq, killing 53 people. Huh? So that, yeah, I'm glad we didn't have to talk like that about those matters. Speaking of Muslims, I listen, this is D.C. that we live in. It's a metropolitan area. People from every religion, race, creed, color, nationality. It's you know, as you can imagine, it's a metropolitan community. I know Muslims. They are good. Some Muslims good as gold. They just want to. They want to work. They want to work hard. They want to do their obey the law, pay their taxes, raise good families, you know, and have their kids become doctors and whatnot. They're very, you know, they're very, very smart, as we can see, passionate. You can define passionate in any way you want. But it's really troubling to see such a radical faction speak for, you know, such a great group of, you know, what can come here and be such great, fun-loving, beautiful people. And I wrote a commentary, a true op-ed, under DuhProgressive, DUHProgressive.com. I wrote a true op-ed this past week, and it got some traction. A few thousand people read it. And you can also find it on Clash Daily. That is Doug Giles, his of the Acorn fame, his daughter, and Mr. James O'Keefe. They teamed up, and they're the ones that took down Acorn with their gotcha spoof on them, which was totally real. And Acorn is where it is right now, which is not in existence, thank God. But anyway, the piece was, and I'll read it for you. Dear Muslim writers, this is a true op-ed now. Usually we deal in satire on the site, but there is a true serious piece column and or section rather, and this is the piece. Dear Muslim writers, please keep writing. Dear Muslim writers, please keep writing. Yes, I said it. You heard me correctly. Please keep storming American embassies throughout the Middle East. Please keep murdering innocent people, U.S. officials, and dragging them through the streets. Oh, and while you're at it, please keep burning American flags and chanting death to America, death to Israel, death to Christians, death to fill in the blank, you know, death to Mickey Mouse. So please keep writing and spewing your so keenly evolved ignorance in front of U.S. embassies in Europe, too. And please keep forcing police in Sudan, Egypt, Yemen, and other Muslim countries to shoot you as you attempt to storm and burn down our embassies. That's the best part. In essence, please keep bringing your portion of the world to a total standstill over some shoestring-budgeted, crass, low-class, obscure, two-bit piece of cinematic crap called a movie. Please. What you're doing as you react with such perpetual virulence to this Muhammad film, which no one has seen, nor would have known of, by the way, is exactly what so many of us want to see. So many of us want to see it because we need to believe it, that Islam is, and can only be, a religion of violence for those suffering a severe and terminal retardation of spiritual maturity and intellect, a retrograde way of believing and living completely incompatible with the modern world. As you burn American flags and rush into our embassies with Molotov cocktails in hand, so do you rush to live up to every stereotype the would-have-been-known Muhammad film and the Danish cartoons of 2006, remember those, were meant to portray, and then some. Have you decided this is what your religion and cultures equate to? This is truly what you wish to be? Please make your decision, Muslim rioters. Millions of would-be Muslim haters around the world are counting on you. So, also, dear Muslim non-rioters, is this who you want representing you all over the world? Are you really content to be viewed as grubby, infantile, Cro-Magnonic, violent, hate mongers like those you're rioting and protesting with signs, like those rioting and protesting with signs reading "Wait for the real 9/11"? How much more suspicion, bigotry and ignorance are you willing to let this radical segment of your religion bring upon you, as if it hasn't disgraced you enough already? How much longer are you going to let the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, the Mullah Omars, the Muqtada al-Sadrs, the Ahmadinejads, and blazing-eyed fundamentalists speak for you? How much longer will you allow the grains of truth of the stereotype that initially spawned the 2006 cartoons and today's quote-unquote Muhammad documentary to speak for all of Islam? Are you ever going to speak up for yourselves and against the cancerous element devouring your religion, devouring you? I wonder, do you all have the guts? And speaking of guts, to our own media here in the U.S., do you all have the guts to cover moderate or even liberal Muslims, if such a thing exists, who honestly abhor these nihilistic outpours of murderous, zombie-like idiocy? Or would your precious ratings and readership drop too much? Ultimately, however, it is up to you, the other, quote-unquote, the other Muslim world, to decide if the people killing, storming, looting, and rioting currently represent who you all really are, or just is a cancerous tumor that needs to be rooted out and destroyed. It is up to you, fellow Muslims. Oh, and if you ever do decide to speak up, make sure you speak loudly. The rest of us can't hear much over all the rioting. Nick Taxia, writer-producer, occasional basket case, the Dove Progressive, DUHProgressive.com, is some of the true op-ed section. So, I do not believe that what we're seeing now over the Middle East represents most Muslims. I know some would call me foolish. There's plenty of people that I've run into on Facebook that would call me a sympathizer over that. I'm sorry. I cannot wrap my mind around the notion that 1.5 billion people are all insane. You will not be able to get me to believe that. I just don't. You know, most people around the world just want to have a job, want to work, unless you're part of the 47%. And they just want a good life for their families, pay their bills, go to school, get a good education, and live humbly. But we have what we have today, which is giving so many people such a bad rap. You know, I will never equate. We got this Muslim cab driver. I think he's from Lebanon, or he picks us. He frequents our neighborhood. He picks us up all the time. You know, he's got his picture of his kids and everything. He just wants his kids to go to school. He doesn't want them to grow up to be terrorists. You know? He's not going to... I didn't pay... Damn it, Ahmed, I didn't pay all this money for you to go to medical school just to have you blow yourself up. You know, what a waste. Yeah, good. Money well spent, when actually he could graduate medical school and become a bartender. Actually, I'm sorry. That's what you do with a liberal arts degree. Or else you become a political satirist. The biggest trouble, though, in my mind, the way I see it, for the Muslim world, it's this inability to come out and speak against this cancerous tumor. You know, I know the media doesn't want to give you the time of day because it won't create ratings. I know that. You have to speak louder. Damn it. The conservatives found a way to get around media bias. So can you. We have a call. And I bet I know who it is. I bet it is. Right. Mr. Long, is this you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Michael Long. I can say where you work, right?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. It breaks up a little bit. We'll see how far it goes.
Okay. All right. I can mention your place of work, correct?
All right. Say anything you want. I got nothing to hide. I'm an open book, my friend. It's good to be here. Tom, you've been confined to Georgetown University.
Oh. You mean you left your job at Playgirl magazine?
Well, you know, that's always been a contract thing. And, they're not going to let me go easily. But at the same time, they don't want to have to give me benefits. And so it's always going to be part-time.
You quit. Just admit, you quit, didn't you? You wrote for Playgirl, then you wanted, you know, you got a little too big for your britches. You wanted to be a model. They wouldn't let you. You quit. And now you're just a lowly old professor of, what are you, professor of again at Georgetown University?
Well, I got to tell you, if I were too big for my britches, I don't think they'd fire me. But you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're Anthony Weiner, they'd hire you. They pay you.
Yeah, I teach. I'm the director of writing here in the public relations and corporate communications program, the graduate program here at Georgetown University. And I am a freelance speech writer and a budding playwright. So, in addition to the work, of course, you cite at Playgirl when I'm in front of the lens. So, yeah. And thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, I have to say this, and this is stupid question. Big shock. Nick Hexia asked a stupid question. Breaking. That's news in and of itself. Have you ever run into Sandra Fluke? Georgetown's already famous, but Sandra Fluke was like, oh, Georgetown University. Oh, she is. Sandra Fluke's there. So.
I haven't run into her. She's over in the law school, and I'm not really part of that. But, you know, I think she's an interesting character. Kind of indicative of what's going on. I think my feelings are pretty much like everybody else's. I'm just disappointed more than I am shocked. I'm like you. I'm past being surprised, my friend. I'm disappointed that anybody who goes to one of the premier universities, one of the most expensive universities in the United States, in the world, has the audacity to somehow expect other people to pay for something in her life. We hear so much about liberal concern for human rights and people who go to bed hungry, and here is a young lady who's asking for birth control. I mean, if a conservative said such a thing, the liberals will say, well, you want your birth control. There are people who would like a bowl of oatmeal. So she's wrong on so many levels, and it begins with the whole outlook of the whole world, this notion that we're all in this together on every last thing. We are together on some things, but we're not together on sharing Sandra Fluke's bed.
Yeah, and she's a little too hefty for my taste anyway. So yeah, plus she's got that she's got that short hair. She's got that whole Fred Savage, Rachel Maddow thing going on. And by the way, soon on the website, I'm going to start on dogprogressive.com, I'm going to start a link to my other, it's a Facebook page. It's called Tell Rachel Maddow That You Loved Her on Wonder Years. And it has a picture of current Rachel Maddow and back then, you know, a 12-year-old Michael Savage. Michael, have you ever heard that? You probably have a heart attack. Like, yeah. Well, Michael Savage has a heart attack every day, and he probably just shocked himself back to life. So you've been a speechwriter. You've worked on campaigns. Who have you written for?
I've written for a lot of folks. Some things you can't really say very loudly because you know that's part of the game. But let's say there's some well-respected governors that we all like a lot that are bigger than others, shall we say, that I've written for. And contributed a bit to George Bush during George W. Bush during the campaign and a little bit of stuff while he was in office. Folks in Congress mostly. I'll tell you what, Nick. I write mostly for CEOs these days. A couple of good reasons. One is that you can rely on them to pay their bills, my friend. You certainly can. Politicians aren't always the best at paying their bills. I find that it's funny because they're paying with our money. It seems like they'd be fine with that, but I guess not.
Anybody who's worked for a campaign knows that a campaign is the cheapest type of organization to work for, you know, except for when it comes to ordering pizza. You know, we can hire you, you know, we want you to work 10 hours a day on the phones or go in 100-degree weather, door knocking, or go organize some people to take on this neighborhood, or stuff. And we're not going to pay you, but yet we'll order $300 worth of pizza. And that's still,
well, you know, one of the disadvantages we have, one of the disadvantages we have on the right is as we have failed to implement this full employment act that the Democrats have. It turns out if you're a Democrat and you need work, if you just show up at any campaign with a video camera, they'll put you to work following people around for the first dumb thing somebody said. Apparently they have an army of people doing this. It must be very satisfying work because they ain't just following people around with cameras and recording it, finding things to clip out of there.
Well, it you know, it really goes along, it rides parallel to what I was telling the Breitbart journalist, Mr. Warren Houston, just now, is that with all this gotcha type of journalism and catching people saying what's really on their mind and what they really think and all that, you know, it dovetails with this age of everybody's offended about something, you know, which, by the way, I'm offended at Mitt Romney now. It's an hour into the show, 3,000, actually, it's less than I thought, $3,900 he's already made, leaving 31 people dead, Mike. My God. That, you know, poor people suffer, you know, just way disproportionately from depression, chronic depression, substance abuse, suicide rates and all that. And how much money has Mitt Romney just taken away and driven more people over the edge? It's disgusting. Stop it, Mitt.
If Mitt Romney cured cancer, the headline would be Romney ignores diabetics.
That is so true. You know, Romney's still out to lunch on AIDS. So,
yeah,
wait a minute. The clock stopped, but then it started again. Now he's above 4,000. So,
I think Nick, it kind of come at it from a larger perspective. I think there's a reason that conservatives and folks on the right in general fall so far behind the other side in terms of actually making an impression in the culture. And it has to do with how we feel about our ideology. This is a lot lighter thought than that big setup sounds like. But here's the thing. Politics is something we do because we have to. Those of us who are on this side of the aisle have to work for a living. We're interested in taking care of our families, taking care of ourselves. And we know that if we look after ourselves, nobody else will have to do so. We give to charity because it's the right thing to do. And we're not that concerned with telling other people how to live. And we're not that concerned with getting into the guts of telling other people how to live. We give them a little bit of help and we move along. The people on the left, though, are so concerned about being in charge. I don't know why they simply can't live and let live. They seem to have this need for superiority. It's funny. There's a great piece that Reason magazine put up. Maybe it's a video. It is a video, rather, that they did during the convention. Well, they went around asking folks on the left if they were pro-choice. And, of course, the answer one and all was, yes, I'm pro-choice. And then he would say, well, what about the choice to buy a soft drink bigger than 16 ounces in New York? And they'd say, oh, well, that's not really a choice. Now you're choosing to do something that's bad for you, so we should stop you. Well, whether or not it's bad for you, who is it that wakes up in the morning trying to decide, trying to get the permission to tell other people what they should and shouldn't eat? Why would you care? I'm baffled at that. Is it because they love us so much? Well, clearly not from the way they talk about it. What is it that possesses a man to devote so much, or in the case of Sandra Flock, a man? Oh, that joke's for you, Nick. what is it that possesses people to have this desire to tell other people how to live in the most minute ways? I mean, you hear this garbage over and over about, well, it has to do with public health. Since when does anybody give a crap about public health? It always rings so false. It sounds like an excuse to simply pass out orders. George MacDonald who said the best men don't wish to govern their fellow men. I don't see the compassion.
Well, here you've struck on many things. The thing is, number one, your statement about we do politics because we have to. You know, we get sucked into having to protect what we earn, not what we steal, like Mitt Romney, but what we earn, We get sucked into protecting that. We get sucked into, you know, making sure their kids don't watch, you know, absolute like that Honey Boo Boo, more like Honey Barf Barf, young little wench. Yeah, I called a 4-year-old a wench. Maturity me on TV. You know, we have to make sure that we, you know, live decently to an extent and productively to a larger extent. And another thing you said is that when Rick Santorum makes a statement, or when, you know, Palin makes a statement, or when someone gives, when a conservative lends their opinion about something, liberals flip out because they see it through their lens. When a liberal states an opinion, they want to, generally speaking, you know, I know liberals who want to live and let live and you know, just go off and be by themselves and let you do what you do. And you know, hey, God bless them. You know, but the, you know, like the Hollywood crowd and the academia crowd, a lot of them, when they hear a conservative express an opinion, they think, oh, my God, they're like me. They want to inflict that opinion or that lifestyle or that regulation or whatever. They want to make it into a regulation and inflict it upon me. They see it through the lens of how they want to, you know, want to do with their beliefs, which is to enforce them upon you. That's why when a conservative gives a statement on TV or on the radio or whatever, everyone flips out. Oh, he came out, you know, against abortion. He wants to tell me what I can do with my body. No, he's suggesting that you not get an abortion. He's saying, you know what, maybe this whole abortion thing, particularly that now that you're actually in the process of giving birth, now you wouldn't abort, maybe that's not cool. You know, you're telling me what to do with my body. No, I'm just saying, well, you got to watch out. So they see they see conservative statements through their lens. Another related question about this Romney video. Since you worked on campaigns, you've written speeches, you know, you've been through the thick and thick of it. Did I just say thick and thin? Or thick and whatever. You've been through the, probably something beginning with F didn't come out of my mouth. You've been through the thick of it. If you were Romney, how would you have handled this? How would you be handling this, quote unquote, you know, this secretly leaked speech he gave at this fundraiser? How would you be doubling down on it? Because he seems to be doubling down on it.
I would, and I would give it what I call the Samuel L. Jackson treatment. It's the Pelican Brief. Is that the movie with Samuel L. Jackson? And he's on the stand, and the prosecutor says, "Did you kill these men?" He's on trial for his life. "Did you kill these men?" And he goes, "Hell yeah, I killed these men, and I hope they burn in hell." He didn't back off.
That was a time to kill.
That's it. I hope they burn in hell. There's Samuel Jackson saying it. And I think that what Romney is on to is what we'll call the animal house rule. You remember toward the end when they're on double secret probation and the leader of the fraternity stands up and he goes, "Don't you get it? They're going to come after us whatever we do." And then they have a party. And I think that's Romney. If Romney came out this morning and said, as I say, you know, we're going to cure cancer, the headline would be Romney ignores diabetics. There's nothing. He thinks he made some terrible error. Many Republicans think he made a terrible error by speaking out during the Libya business, during the Egypt business. He didn't make a mistake. He could have come out and said, "I support the president." The criticism would have been Romney wimps out. He came out and said, "This is wrong to apologize to the people who murdered a man on your very soil in another country." And he attacked that. He can't say anything. So he should double down on it. He should clarify because the arithmetic's a little off here. But the fact is there are a whole lot of people who won't vote for him, and that's all he's saying. If there are people who will, well, let's say, look at how women stuck with Clinton, for instance. Now, I got to say, over the years I've known it, I see a lot of good things I can say about Bill Clinton, but one of them is not that he was good with the ladies, you know, that he treated them right. The women's movement lined up behind Bill Clinton, so to speak. And they forgave him every offense. Nobody's really outraged about what Romney said, and those who claim to be would never vote for him in the first place. So to answer your question, what would I tell him to do? I'd say to come out and give a speech about it. I'd say, here's where America stands. You folks are feigned outrage on both sides. You and I both know, and let's be honest with ourselves, Nick, when Obama does something stupid, we're outraged mostly because we want to try to drag people down who are supporting him. We know how he's going to behave. There's nothing he could say to make us vote for him. And Romney ought to say, look, let's be honest. This outrage is feigned. It's garbage. Here's why you should vote for me. And you can talk smack about me all your life. It's not going to change it. I know you're not going to vote for me. If I offered you, again, the cure for cancer, you don't want it. You don't believe in me. I'm not wasting my time with you, and I don't give a darn about your outrage. That would fire up a face like never before.
The criticism, it would. But my perspective, I come from the angle of you have to sway those swing voters. And when you have those swing voters, they're too busy sitting home watching Honey Boo Boo, and they hear just a quip, they're washing dishes or whatever, and they hear a quip, Romney not caring about half of America. Oh, I'm not voting for that SOB. And they'll go vote when they should be staying home. I used to get into these arguments in college. Oh man, only 50% of America votes when it should be on. I'm like, no. It is terrible to 50% vote when it should be about 5. The hard left and the hard right go at it and they duke it out, and whoever hits the polling booths the hardest wins. But these people who, I heard that he said this, and I heard from a guy who heard, and from a guy who heard from Facebook that, I'm not voting for him, or else I'll stay home. My God, please don't. Just I'll stay home every 4 years.
Let me say this. Seriously, if I were going to advise Mitt Romney on how to handle the campaign, and he was going to have to reply to this, I would say, you know what? I put it in delicately, but I know there are a lot of people who won't vote for me just because they don't like Republicans and they don't like me. Fine. Let me talk to those of you who are still on the fence. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Of course not. You're not better off. And he promised to do better in 4 years. He's a nice guy, but he's in over his head. And then whatever the next thing is, well, what about Bain Capital? So, Bain Capital is a complicated thing, and I know if you're upset about it, chances are you're not going to vote for me anyway. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? You're not. You beat that like a red-headed orphan.
Yeah. Mike, are you there? Have I lost you?
The red-headed orphan part?
No. Am I coming through? I know we have our connection isn't this strong. Okay, great. I totally agree. That's what people – that's everyone's criticism about Mitt Romney. For those in the audience that are young enough and know the show South Park, he reminds me of Tweak. The character Tweak, he's got like a Tourette syndrome, and he constantly has these twitches and everything, and he's super, super nervous and hyper, and everything upsets him. Like, Cartman will say to Tweak, like, hey, we got a surprise, we got a pop quiz today. A pop quiz? Oh, my God! And he'll flip out, and that's how Romney reminds me. He reminds me every time you put a camera in his face, he's kind of mealy-mouthed about, so he's too soft about some things, and he's, oh my God, I'm on TV, oh no, oh. Yeah, and,
he may internally, inside,
be as comfortable, as snug as a bug under a rug, but he comes across as just, I pray that he can hold it during the debate and not come across as scared to be up there, because I don't believe, Republicans, people who gravitate to the right side of the aisle by nature, are not celebrities. They're not President Kardashian. He won't be President Kardashian. They like to be behind the scene running things, just like the businessman that he is. By the way, he's made now $4,340. That damn son of a damn you, Mitt Romney. How damn you be successful? I want to, now take away everything that he has just for being so successful. I don't know if you caught this, Mike, but it was on the Daily Kos and something called Balloon Juice. I don't even get into what that could be, especially in my neighborhood. Balloon Juice, Daily Kos, I believe Media Matters picked it up a little bit, but apparently the man who held this fundraiser for Romney, in the Hamptons, is a swinger, and he likes to have sex parties. And it's just, and they hopped all over it. Keith Olbermann, if you know, he released a video where he begins to tell the story, and he just breaks down and begins to laugh, this fiendish like Ted Bundy laugh. So the media is trying to hop all over this. Mitt Romney, you know, goes to a fundraiser hosted by a guy who hosts sex parties. I'm looking at the Daily Coast right now, and it says the party was tame. This is the one that Romney was at now. Romney wasn't there. And if so, I don't think he would have been much fun with his magic Mormon underwear and everything. But this guy Letter, L-E-D-E-R, this is his last name, he rents this place. And he has these wild, lavish parties with, you know, Russian strippers running around and everything. And the Daily Coast describes one of his parties. The party was tamed for Letter, whose wild end of summer bash was the talk of the Hamptons this year. At the Bridgehampton home that Letter rented for a whopping $500,000 a month, guests cavorted nude in a pool and performed sex acts while scantily clad Russian women danced on platforms. And the media's trying to, of course, they love it when Republicans allegedly show hypocrisy, because according to, you know, the popular media, if you're a Republican, don't be horny. If you're a person who wants to not be taxed and regulated to death at every turn, who wants a solid, consistent, strong U.S. foreign policy, who wants a president who actually loves America and will stand up for America, don't have a sex drive. You know, just don't have hormones. Don't enjoy the company of beautiful women. Don't enjoy partying. And now, granted, we all don't engage in these types of, of course, most Republicans don't engage in this, but this man probably is, when it comes to economics, damn it, he's probably more conservative than those right now in a Bible studies class, which according to the media is all that Republicans do anyway, when we aren't at work and when we're not watching our kids at Little League, we're in Bible studies. And that's all that we do. I don't know about you, Mike, but I was raised Democrat. I was raised liberal Democrat, and I switched over to being a Republican in my early 20s. And when I did, and I signed the form, you know, changed my voter registration, I don't remember on the forms next to the box for Republican where it said, you will now give up your sex drive. I don't remember that being on there. And if it was, I'll be damned if I would have checked it.
Mine had a whole big thing about sex in it. So I guess we both in different places. It was very uncomfortable for me, but then there was a probe. I don't understand what went on, but apparently I came out the other side. So, there's something I do want to say here in this, and then actually I'm going to have to leave you, my friend, with my obligations here at this mighty university. let me offer a little advice to everybody working our side of the street. Stop rising to the bait. Nobody's going to change their mind about Mitt Romney or Barack Obama based on some remark at a party. That's all on the fringes. Ignore that stuff because it buries the lead. Let it go. Let it burn itself out. Let them say whatever they want. We need to talk over and over and over again about the economy. We don't have to rise to the bait on this stuff. All we have to say is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? We've got a plan to fix it because his plan didn't work. We're not going to change swing voters' minds by telling them Barack Obama's a bad guy. We just have to portray him as a nice guy who's in over his head. That doesn't feel as good as bashing him, but do we want to win or do we want to feel good? I think we want to win. We've got to quit allowing the media to suck oxygen out of us with our outrage about gas that don't matter, to keep the thing focused. And we got to support our man too. We all have problems with Romney, but we got to talk him up constantly. Good, bad, whatever. He's our guy. It doesn't help anything for conservatives to get out of line and start talking about Romney's shortcomings. We need to talk him up. We need to talk Obama's plan down. We can win this thing, and it's close enough that we will if we don't lose our sight.
Exactly. So stories like this are you know, null and void, and it just proves, you know, in some ways, well, liberals love to talk about sex anyway, and so mentioning this guy's sex, I'll talk about sex just as much as anybody, but the thing is that, and this also brings me to a larger point, everything that goes on in a Democrat's bedroom probably goes on in most Republican bedrooms. The difference between Republicans and Democrats is that we don't wear what we did last night in the bedroom on our sleeves for everyone to see. We don't make it into a bumper sticker and slap it on a car. We don't put it on a T-shirt and wear it down the street. We don't have parades down Main Street. We don't have entire cable networks dedicated to it. You know, our proclivities that take place behind closed doors, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and what happens in our bedrooms, we like to, it's private, we like to keep it private. Do we like to get down and party? Yeah, a lot of us do. Do we want to, you know, throw it in your face every 5 minutes to the point that when you get offended and you're like, you know what, could you not throw that in my face every 5 minutes? Yeah, I get it. You like whatever. You like Taiwanese twins. Okay. You know, okay, I get it. You're into that. Or you're a log cabin. You know, you're the log cabin Republicans. Okay, I get it. Could you knock it off, though? You're kind of getting on my nerves with it. And we won't go, you're rejecting me. Oh, you're a bigot. Oh, I'm oppressed. Woe is me. Unlike some other sides of the aisle and some other communities I won't mention, we don't wear what we do in the bedroom. We don't turn it into a bumper sticker. Ride around with it. We don't ride around with it. We just ride it.
That's the nature of folks on the right. We tend to live our lives and let others live theirs. Not enough of us on the right let others live their lives, but we're getting there. As I say, I've got to go, but Nick, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate a chance to talk about some of this stuff with you. You're hilarious. Dead Progressive is hilarious, man. If anybody's listening to this and is visiting your site regularly, they need to start doing it because it's funny.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mike, everybody, Professor of Mass Communications, and what was it, speech rhetoric? Was that it?
Yeah.
I have that right.
Yes, I teach a lot of speech writing.
Yeah. Okay. Georgetown, the now infamous Georgetown University. So, anyway, thank you so much, Mike. Mike Long, everybody.
Thank you, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, great. Well, that was... It was kind of cool. It was nice. So much going on out there today, and I don't mean today. I mean, you know, within the past few days and a couple weeks. And there, I just want you to know that you can go. He mentioned duhprogressive.com, everybody, and go to duhprogressive.com. And there is, at least concerning this Middle East, back to the Middle East, this situation over there, the administration is doing something about it. And what they're doing is, you know, it's kind of odd, but I think it'll work. And it's and even talking with Warren Houston of Breitbart, even the Breitbart doesn't have the story. But my experienced, you know, nose to the grindstone reporters at Duh Progressive have it, and that is White House to deploy thousands of mimes to protect U.S. embassy. And if you click on the story, the you know, we're sending street mimes, you know, the white face gloves, you know, they're silent, they don't make noise, they fool around with invisible furniture and everything. We're sending mimes over there. They're going to stand in front of the embassies and guard the embassies. That's what the Obama administration is doing. And, I mean, seriously, have you ever seen a public disturbance happen when there's a mime around? No one kicks a mime's ass. Think about it. So I think this is a brilliant move by Obama and the White House. Unfortunately, though, there are some who say that mimes, according to the Quran, mimes are worse than, it's all on their own dubprogressive.com, the entire thing explained. And, you know, we found a nice professor of Islamic studies at American University to explain to us, you know, how mimes are actually more offensive than blasphemy in the Quran. And it has an excerpt from the Quran. It's Quran 8:25. Unto all hath Allah promised God, but those who are damned dirty mimes are to be damned. Fellow believers, the mime is but dirty, talentless entertainment for the infidels. The mime is an affront to Allah. They are the most blasphemous against his will. Beware mimes. Seek and destroy them wherever they hide. So even then, when the administration tries to do something as innocuous as send over mimes to quell this, you know, uproar in the Middle East, you know, even then it could lead to, like I said, the world has a feeling, and I'm being serious. The world has a feeling like it's on the brink of a world war. Perhaps not a, you know, massive army, not like a World War II style of war, massive armies marching across entire continents, but a war, you know, every section of the world could be in the midst of a mini little battle. I'm sorry, but when every country is in chaos, or when a large part of the world's nations are in chaos, to me, that's a world war. It's not the type of world war that you stereotypically think of, but it is a type of world war. So, anyway, lucky you all, I got a split, and I want to thank my Jeffs, my Jeffs, and I'm tired. You know, Tom warned me, he said, you'll get dry mouth. Please, you know, have like a mint or something in your mouth. You'll get dry mouth and you'll slur. So, yeah. And he also didn't, but he didn't tell me what to do when you're hosting a show and you have to run to the bathroom. And now I'm about to find out what that's like. So anyway, yeah, had a lot of water, folks. What can I say? So listen, Warren Houston from Breitbart, pleasure to have you, and Michael Long, professor of speech rhetoric and mass comm at Georgetown University. They were both great guests. I appreciate them calling in. Good insight, lively conversation, good for both of those guys. Thank you so much. And, yeah, what can I say? I'm looking at the end of show audio. I guess I'm supposed to – I'm looking at the switchboard now, anyone who's ever done a blog show. I guess I'm supposed to push that. So, listen, it's been great hosting. Tom Garcia, thank you so much. Hope to do it again. Hope to be on next week. So, thank you so much, guys. Truly. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm out. Later.